Welcome to the Church of the Pines weekly podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. If you have any questions about our church, how you can get involved, or how you can support, please visit churchofthepines.com. We hope that you enjoy this week's message.
Into the message in part three of our series we've been calling Frequency, I just want to let you know a couple of things that are coming up here next month at the church. They've already talked to you about next steps. We'd love for you to join us next week for step one. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the message. Small groups kick off next week as well. So just please be planning on being a part of small groups. You can experience everything any church has to offer you if you're not involved and have relationships in that church. So we want you to be involved in small groups. And we'll talk a lot about that next week. But then going into the rest of September, just want to give you an idea of what that's going to look like. September 8th, I'm bringing a message, and it's going to be a day, we're just calling it Vision Sunday. So if you've been coming around here for a little while and still wondering what we're all about, you've still been kicking the tires a little bit, this would be a great day for you to be here. We're going to celebrate what God's done. We're going to talk about and celebrate what He's doing, and then we're going to share vision for where we believe He's calling us to go and how we're going to get there and how we believe that you can be a part of that. So be ready and be a part of Vision Sunday on September 8th. And then the next Sunday, September 15th, we're going to kick off a brand new series we're calling The Struggle is Real. Can I get a good amen? Anybody experiencing the struggle is real in your life? Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. Me too. So, you know, we're all in that same boat. And so we're going to spend a few weeks talking about that. It's all going to revolve around anxiety and depression and even suicide. I don't know if you know this, but East Texas has one of the highest suicide rates in the state of Texas. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and we're going to look at God's Word and see what God's Word has to say about those areas that I bet have affected every life in here in one way or another, both directly and indirectly. So we're going to kick that series off, but then we're also Sunday, September 15th. We don't have a name for it, but it's back to church Sunday, and we're going to have, after the service, we're going to have food trucks out in the parking lot. We're going to have some bounce houses. And we're going to encourage you to bring somebody, and not just that, plan on staying a little bit. Get to know your church family. Hang out. It's all provided for. You don't have to pay for anything. We're doing it and paying for it with the tithes and offerings that you're already giving. So you've already paid for it. We just want to serve you in that way and give you a time to hang out. So plan on that September 15th. And just love what God's doing in the church. So excited about what He's stirring up and excited that you're here today. So we're going to jump into the message, part three of something we're calling Frequency, tuning in and hearing from God. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord and just seek Him to hear from Him, from His Word today. Let's pray. Lord, we love You so much. We're so thankful just that we get the opportunity to come together and lift You up. And Lord, I thank You that we don't just worship a God, but we worship a God who is able to do just above what we can ever even dream of. And You're not just a God to be worshipped, but You're a God who lives in us. And as we prepare to hear a message today and hear from Your Word today, I pray that You would speak to us today clearer than ever, that we would hear Your voice and know Your voice in a great way today. And as we get ready to hear from God's Word today, we always pray a prayer together out loud. So pray this after me. Dear Lord, those things I don't know, teach me. Those things that I haven't seen, show me. And those things that You have prepared for me, prepare me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's jump into it. If you got your Bibles, you can open it up to John chapter 10. If you want, you can pull out the message notes that we put in your worship guide. It's got fill in the blank so you could follow along. And I encourage you to keep that and maybe use that as a tool to come back and study it later in the week or in the month. And then we'll also have it up on the screen. And this has kind of been our theme verse over the past few weeks for this series. John 10, this is Jesus talking. He says that the gatekeeper opens the gate for Him, talking about the shepherd. And Jesus in this passage is comparing His ministry and God's ministry to us as a shepherd in relationship to the sheep that He watches over. He says the gatekeeper opens the gate for Him, and the sheep, they listen to His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. And it says that when He has brought out all his own. And I've just been meditating on this verse, and I was meditating on it. I get up about 5 o'clock on Sundays just to kind of pour over the message and really get it in me a little deeper and make sure that God doesn't want to say something else outside of what I've just been thinking about all week. And when I read that, it just stood out so bold to me this morning that he, when he has brought out all his own. Can I tell you, he wants to bring you out. And I don't know what you've come in with, and I don't know what you're living with, and I don't know what you've been tolerating or accepting as anything less than God's best in your life, but whatever it is, he wants to bring you out. And if you don't hear anything else today in this message, and I got a lot to say, and I'm excited about it, so there's going to be something else to hear, but I would hope that you would hear at the very least that he wants to bring you out. I mean, that's what his word says, that when he has brought out all his own, this is what he does. He goes on ahead of them. And then there's this other group of people. Some of you are in here today and you've been living in something that God wants to bring you out of. There's another group of you that are in here this morning and God has brought you out of something. And if you're a Christian here and you're a Christ follower, then he's brought you out of a dead life and placed you into a new life. That's what we believe. But I think there's a group of people who have stopped there, that he's brought you out, but then he's going on leading. And you're still kind of standing here, brought out, like, what do I do next? And he's like, come on. And in my prayer for you in this series is that you do begin to understand how God speaks, why God speaks, and find how to live it out. And so the first week we talked about, in setting this up, we talked about the prepared heart. That the Bible, Jesus gave a parable, and he talked about different kinds of soil that you can sow the word into, and there's hard ground, and there's rocky ground, and there's ground where it gets the word and God's voice gets choked out. We talked about that in week one, and it is the prepared heart that God speaks to and that is ready to receive his word. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about, in part two, we talked about the whispers that God speaks primarily through God speaks through his Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Holy Spirit, we describe it as a still small voice, a whisper, the inward witness. We talked about that in week two. And today is going to be the most practical message in this series because we can talk about all that. But then I want to share with you from God's word how you can expect to hear that voice, how you can expect to experience it. And I'm going to share a couple of examples of that from other people's lives. I'm going to share a couple of examples from that in my own personal life. And we're going to trust God to speak to us and that we are good ground and that we are going to be able to hear from him. So God's gone on ahead of him. And his sheep, they follow him because they know his voice. Again, that's what I want to help you today, make sure that you know his voice. But they won't follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And so it's kind of all about, you know, and you probably had this question yourself. How do I tell the difference? Is it God? Is that God speaking? Is that the Holy Spirit speaking? What's the difference between that and my own voice? The voice of somebody else? Or how do I know if it's God or just the breakfast tacos I had this morning, right? This got a little indigestion. How do I know the difference between those? And that's what we want to help you do today. And another thing that I just want to share with you that I believe that God showed me today as I was preparing for this is how he wants to do that. We're talking to each other. I'm talking to you individually. Like there is each and every one of you, God desires to lead you individually in every area of your life. Can I tell you, there's not one thing about your life that your heavenly Father who created you doesn't care about. He cares about every bit of it. So this message is for you individually. But then I also had this picture of what does that mean for us corporately? Like here we all are together today in this room. And there's things that he wants to do in us individually. But then there's things that he wants to speak to us when we come together, what we call corporately, as the church, when we come together on these Sunday mornings. And so we can all kind of come in on Sunday sometime, especially if you're here new today and it's kind of let's just sit back and see what they got for us today. Let's see what that preacher's got to say to us today. Let's see what the worship team, what songs they picked out today, and we can just kind of sit back and wait for somebody to do it for us. But then there's also this component that God wants to speak to us today. And in thinking through this passage of Scripture that we just looked at and talking about, Jesus talking about that the voice of a stranger that they won't follow, that my children, my sheep, they're listening for my voice. Like they're listening for it. They're waiting on what I'm going to say to do. That has an individual application, but then some of you know, if you've been here any amount of time, I like football. Anybody? Got any football people? Ladies, don't shut me down now. Football season's coming up. I'm going to give you a little 101 real quick, a little football 101. Don't shout me down. Don't shut me off. But I was thinking about when it comes to football, that the football, you know, you got these big old heavy set guys that everybody's seen football. You got these big old heavy set guys that they line up, you know, five against five. And it looks like that they just snap that ball and there's just 10 guys just pile up, right? Ladies, that's what y'all see when you watch football. You're like, why do they just keep moving that ball and hitting each other and trying to move this big glob around the field? There's a strategy to it. And so the five guys on the offensive side of the ball, the guys that have the football, there's these five guys that are spread out in front of, everybody knows the quarterback, right? We all know Tom Brady. Like, we know that. We know Tony Romo. Stop. We all know Tony Romo. We all know the quarterback, but the lesser known, the lesser appreciated part that really make that whole thing work is the offensive line. It's the line. And these guys line up together. There's one guy in the middle with the ball. There's two guys on either side of him. And the guy with the ball is waiting to hear from the quarterback to give him the ball. But he's not the only one waiting. The guard's waiting. The tackle's waiting. They're on either side of him. And they're all right. They're in this stance. I never played. I don't judge me. In a terrible form. I don't know if it's one finger, two fingers. I don't know what it is. But, you know, they're just kind of like this. And they're waiting, okay? You got five guys who weigh over 300 pounds. Waiting on one little skinny dude to ask for the ball, right? But they're in this position, and they're waiting to hear. But the voice of the quarterback is not the only voice going on in that moment. Texas Stadium, they can max out at about 110,000 people in that place. So you got 110,000 people hollering, making noise all around them. And you've got the coaches and the players on either side of that field hollering out. You've got the guys across from you, the defense, the opposing team, like they're hollering out trying to make you think that the other guy is that your quarterback is getting ready to hike the ball. Like they're trying to imitate his voice. There's all this noise going on around him, and these guys in this moment, I hope you appreciate this a little more the next time you watch some football. Football appreciation 101. But they're waiting. They're waiting on one voice to say one word. And what do? All five of them, 300-pound grown men, at the same time, they hear that and they rise up and they go. And I want you to hear from God in every single area of your life. My prayer is that you would hear from God every moment of every day. That is not just crazy charismatic stuff. That is God's word. But my prayer is also that when we come to church together on a Sunday, that we're coming in not waiting for what the preacher's got to say to me, not trying to see what the worship team's going to sing today, not just coming to clap my hands in the song service, but that I'm coming in ready to hear from God. That when I come in, I'm like this. I'm looking. I'm waiting. I'm scanning in because they've got an assignment. Like each one of these guys has an assignment. Like I'm going this way. This guy's going that way. This guy's going to come around here and go that way. Right? But then this guy with the ball in the middle, he's watching everything too. And the quarterback's watching everything too. And how they came in and the plan that they came in with may not be what they end up doing because they got to take a minute and survey the field. They got to look around. And that quarterback could call an audible, right? The guy that has the ball in his hand, based on what he sees, based on what he reads, they can change the play. So we're not all listening for a moment just to get up and go. We're also listening for a change of play. Because God could change it just like that. Just like what I'm talking about right now. Because it's sitting in the notes. But I'll tell you this, I tell you this, I pray this every morning on the front row. I say, Lord, we got our plan. And we got the way that we want to do it. And I promise you this, church, that every day I wake up, and if God speaks to me and says, do something different, I will do something different. If God says, hey, move this way, move that way, try to be sensitive to that, and we will do it. You know, but you know when he does that in church? He's not going to do it just with one guy or just. He does it when we're together. Because that whole team, they got one goal. That's to score a touchdown. To win the game. That's what we're here for. So I'm just asking, God wants to speak to you in a real and powerful way every day. But he also wants to speak to you in a real and powerful way every day in church too. Whether that's in worship, whether that's through his word, through my message. And the greatest compliment I could ever get would not be, hey, pastor, that was a really great message. I love that you said this. I'd love nothing more than somebody to come up to me and say, man, you know what God said to me today? And I'd say, what? And you'd tell me, and I'd say, man, you know, I didn't even say that. Because God's speaking to you directly. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He wants to speak to us. All that's for free, and that puts us way behind in our message. But I think that's what God wants you. If there's anything, that, like I said, I think, man, if we're going to move forward as a church and just thinking about Vision Sunday, you know, if we're going to accomplish everything that God wants us to accomplish, we got to be hearing from him individually, but then we got to come in ready to hear from him corporately as well. And we all have a part to play in that, every one of us. So, ladies, football 101, hope you appreciate that. So let's jump into the message. We're going to talk about how do I recognize God's voice? Because there are all kinds of, just like I talked about, there are all kinds of competing voices out there. In news, in media, everywhere that you look. And how do we determine the difference between those voices? And I heard a pastor friend of mine tells a story of a guy who came to him, and he and his wife, fiance, were about to get married. He was on staff in this church. And another elder in the church who had permission to go around and share, you know, words from God. You know, if he had heard from God for somebody, then he had permission from the pastor to share that with the people in the church. And so this pastor was on staff, and the guy came to him one morning after prayer, and he came to him. He said, "Hey, I got a word for you." And he said, "Okay, give it to me. I want to have." He's right there with his fiance. So he puts his hand on his head and put his other hand way back here like this, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what he says. He says, "This marriage is not from God, and you don't need to do it." Well, my pastor friend says, "Hey, I love you. We love doing ministry and life with you, but you're missing God here in this moment." And so they took that, and then he went to his pastor, and because they were very confident in everything that had happened, the way that God had brought them together. They got on their pastor and said, "Hey, we're meeting pre-marriage counseling, but hey, let me just tell you what happened." And his pastor said, "No, I think you guys are good. That's all right." And I think a lot of churches have discounted and cut this part of it out because people can miss it, right? That we cut out hearing from God through other people because people can miss that moment. But there has to be opportunity for us to hear from God. Like, we can't cut it out because we need to practice it. Like, that's in the Bible, like, that this stuff happens. It's just that men and women can mishear. We can not hear clearly. There's all kinds of voices out there. And that's scriptural as well. When you think about Peter, the Apostle Peter, God's one of Jesus' number one guys, Peter goes from one moment, Jesus asked his disciples, says, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus is like, "Absolutely, you're so right." And there's no way that you could have known that unless God spoke that to you, right? They didn't have the New Testament to read. He said, "There's no way you could have known that except by the Spirit of God." And then you turn around not moments later, and Jesus gets down and starts talking about, "Hey, I got to go to the cross. I got to die for your sins." And Peter's like, "Never. We're never going to let that happen to you." And then what does Jesus say? "Hey, get behind me, Satan." So we can see even Peter, a disciple walking closely with Jesus, that in one minute he's hearing clearly from God. The next minute he's getting rebuked by Jesus. It can happen. But we can't shut it down throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. We can't shut that down just because people can miss it. Now, it's important that we are hearing and that we are hearing from all different kinds of ways. And that's why the Bible comes along and 1 John says that, dear friends, don't believe every spirit. So there are things that people are going to say. There are voices that are going to come to you. But the Bible says clearly, hey, you don't have to believe it all, but do what? You got to test it. You got to test the spirits to see if they're really from God. It's like a guy who would come to you, and I've had this happen, and it's happened in our home church before, that there is somebody who comes to the pastor and says, hey, I feel like God's leading me to divorce my wife. Okay, I don't think that that's scriptural. We'll look at that in a minute. But what do you? Why? Why do you think God's? Well, I got this new young girlfriend, and we're real happy together, and you know, I'm really feeling this, and you're like, I bet you are, right? I mean, that's, of course you are. And I agree that there is a spirit working here in this situation, but it's not the Holy Spirit, and we gotta test it. We got to test it. So, and some people will get all up in their feels about it. Well, God just wants me happy, right? Like, it's okay. I'm going to leave this situation to get in this situation because at the end of the day, right, God just wants me happy. I mean, anybody? Don't raise your hand because I'm going to shout you down. No. Got to tell you, I'm a pastor. Hopefully I'm your pastor. You love me. God doesn't care about your happiness. God isn't nearly as interested in your happiness as he is about your holiness. God's far more interested in you being holy than he is being happy. And when you begin, and when you walk in holiness, then there will be happiness. But the happiness that you're pursuing is really going to bring you misery. And God's trying to speak to you and keep you out from that. Proverbs 14 says that there is a way that appears right. Right? It feels right. It looks good. It looks promising. But the end of that road is death. There's nothing there. And I know that God wants to spare each and every one of us. So what is the litmus test, if you will? It's kind of what I call this. And I've walked this out and I'm going to share with you how I experienced it. But what is the litmus test from hearing from God? What is the difference? How can I so confidently say when a guy comes to me and says, I believe the Lord's leading me to divorce my wife, that I can look you square in the eye and say, no, he's not? How? Number one is, if you're following along in your message notes, you can write it down. Number one is, does it line up with the Bible? God's word, listen to me, God's voice will never contradict his word. God's word is his will, and he will never lead you outside of that. Matter of fact, that is the number one line description of the Holy Spirit. One of the first things that Jesus says about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is he's going to lead you and guide you in truth, and he's going to remind you of everything that I've said. That's his first, and we see him doing even above and beyond that. But the number one thing Jesus says is he's going to remind you of the things that I've said. So the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God in our lives is always going to line up with God's word. And Jesus modeled this so well throughout his ministry. You have this, and they're going to put it on the screen in Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees came and asked him, trying to stir something up and to test him. See, people are testing stuff. And they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? What's Jesus' response? Haven't you read? People ask me all the time, hey, Les, what do you think about this? And there was once upon a time that we called the things that were sin, sin. We don't do that so much anymore. We're more interested in everybody's opinion about it. So people ask me, hey, Les, what do you think about this? And my response is, what makes you think that my opinion matters? Somebody asked me that about a minister a couple months ago. Hey, what do you think about this minister? I said, I don't. What makes you think that my opinion on that person's life and ministry matters? Let's line it up with the Word of God. Jesus says, hey, you're coming asking me a question. I'm going to ask you a question. Haven't you read? And he replied, that at the beginning, and he explains to them marriage, and he explains to them God's intention for marriage. He doesn't give them his opinion. Jesus Son of God. God's presence on the earth doesn't give him an opinion in what he says. He points them straight back to the Word of God. So he goes on and explains the rest of this in Matthew 19. Let's skip on to the next, to our next point. So the first thing is, does it line up with the Word of God? Hey, Chelsea, will you scroll on down a little bit for me, buddy? Thank you. Second thing is, will it make me more like Christ? Will it make me more Christ-like? Because at the end of the day, that's the goal. The goal is to be more like Christ. That we come to this point of salvation, and God saved, he has brought us out. But then there is this process of restoration, of reformation. There's this process of sanctification, all these big shun Bible words that most of us don't even really know what they mean. But there's this whole process that he leads us through out of that. And is this thing, is the thing that God's saying to me, is this voice that I'm hearing, is it God? Is it the taco? Is it me? Then they ask you a question, is it going to make you more like Christ? If I do this, is it going to make me more like Jesus? Philippians 2 says that in your lives, you must think and act like Christ. So through the processes, through the conversations, through our response in every area, our goal as Christians, which Christian means, right, Christ-like, is to be, every decision, every voice needs to line up with that word. I heard another story recently of a guy who had a minister, as a matter of fact, whose wife had cheated on him several times. And he was really, they had always worked it out, and they had always restored the restoration, and she always came back saying, I don't want to live like this, I don't want to do this anymore. And he would always take her back, but it always kept happening. So he began to kind of get worn out on that and went to some of his pastor friends and say, hey guys, what do you think I ought to do in this? Man, you should leave her. You know, that's what you should do. You don't need to put up with this anymore. You don't need to tolerate this anymore. So he's asking some guys and kind of getting that feedback. And he asked my pastor, he said, what do you think I ought to do? And my pastor said, well, what do you think Jesus would do? And he thought about it. Of course, he didn't just say, yes, that's what Jesus would take her back. And then this is what I'm going to do. No, he went and prayed about it. He came back. He said, you know what? I decided I'm going to give her one more chance. He said, because I would rather end this life and go to heaven, have given as much grace and as many opportunities as I could for restoration, instead of making this decision, making this move, and having to live my life with the rest of the consequences that came with that. My pastor said, well, that sounds like Jesus to me. You know, at the end of the day, you have to will this decision. I experienced that this week. I was faced with some decisions I was wrestling with internally. And it's so hard to make the decision that aligns with what Jesus would do, because you know what? I'm not Jesus, right? Last time I checked, I'm looking around like I don't see Jesus, right? Like we're all kind of in this journey. We're all kind of walking this out. And most of the time, what Jesus would do is not what we want to do, but he's leading us to do what he wants to do. That's the way he leads. So what do we do when those thoughts come to try to take us the other way? 2 Corinthians shows us that. It says that we take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Jesus. You know, that's what Jesus did. Jesus, right after he was baptized early on in his ministry, he went out into the desert and he fasted for 40 days. Maybe you've heard this story. And at the end of that 40 days, the devil appeared to Jesus. Hey, if the devil can appear to Jesus, he can appear to you. And he's going to do the same thing to you that he tried to do to Jesus. He tried to tempt Jesus. And can I tell you, if Jesus wasn't tempted, they wouldn't have called it a temptation. So, that's extra. That just came out. So, but what did the devil bring to him? When he tempted him, what did he tempt him with? He tempted him with God's word. He tempted him saying, hey, God's word says this, why don't you do this? Three times he did that. Do you know what Jesus' response to him every time was? It is written. Like you're trying to teach me, you're trying to come at me with the word, but I know the word. And one reason I think our culture has such a hard time with the Bible being the authoritative word of God in our lives is because a lot of people over the years have taken things out of context. You can take scripture out of context. You can take scripture out of context and make it say just about anything you want to say. I heard, this is kind of funny, and it's really just meant to be funny. I heard one pastor could prove out of Revelation that there wouldn't be any women in heaven. Don't get mad at me, ladies. He said, I could prove to you out of Revelation that there's not going to be any women in heaven. The other guy said, oh yeah, how is that? He said, because there's going to be 30 minutes of silence. To which she said, well, which means there's not going to be any pastors in heaven either, because they can't stop talking either. Just an example, like you can kind of twist it, and I think people have experienced that. And that's why the theological term for when it comes to understanding and hearing God and understanding if it lines up and bringing it into obedience with Christ is taking in what we call the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel. That means that it all has to work together, that you have to interpret Scripture in light of other Scripture. You can't just pick one of them out and say, this is the way, walk in it. No, you got to make sure that it all lines up together. And understand what it says. James 3 is there in your notes. It says that the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, it's pure. It's peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace, they reap a harvest of righteousness. We do that. We do that when we make sure that what we're hearing aligns with God. We make sure that when we hear from God, that we're making sure that it's going to make us more like Jesus. Thirdly, third question you can ask yourself is, does godly counsel agree? And you can circle and underline godly, because we've all got a lot of counsel in our lives, and I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about your friend girls, and I'm not talking about the gossip circle and the old school prayer chain. Like, you need to find godly people. You need pastors. You need spiritual leaders in your life. You need people who are surrounded, who you have surrounded yourself to, when you're not sure if it's God or not, that you got people just like my pastor friend could go to and say, hey, this is what came up. What do you think? You know, Angela shared this story last year in the church, but when we were engaged to be married, we were brand new together, brand new Christians, brand new serving the Lord together. We had been together for maybe about a year. We're engaged and had set that all in place. And she began to hear this voice and to hear this. It was an inward witness, and just this began to get this sense that something wasn't right in this. And she was asking the question and had the doubts, can I trust him? Is he going to take care of me? Is he who I think he is? Maybe this isn't right. Maybe I shouldn't do this. And she sat on that for a little while, and she was able to go to our pastor's wife, to go to Tammy and say, hey, This is what I'm feeling this way. I'm hearing this voice. I'm sensing this, and it seems very real. What do you think? Tammy said, I think you're good. I see God all in your life. I see God all in your relationship. I think you're good. I give you thumbs up. Go right ahead. Thank God we did, right? Or we wouldn't be standing here today if we hadn't. But sometimes we can feel isolated. That's why small groups are so important. Because there's these seasons that we're walking in. I experienced this just this past weekend. That we're trying to make a real serious decision in a moment. And I don't know. I'm not hearing clearly. I feel like it'll make me closer to, make me more like Jesus if I don't, but I really want to, right? And we need somebody that we trust that can come into our lives and speak into our lives and say, hey, yeah, it is. Or, hey, no, it's not. We need those people. Proverbs says there's a way of fools that seems right to them, but the wise will listen to advice. I've always said you don't have to be a wise man to receive a wise man's reward. You just got to do what a wise man does. We need wise people in our life to give us wise counsel. You can be the biggest knucklehead on the face of the earth, but if you got a wise friend who can help you make wise decisions, man, it'll make all the difference. Yeah. Another scripture in Proverbs, there's a couple of them. Listen to advice and accept discipline. At the end, you'll be counted, again, here it is, among the wise. Many are the plans of a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. One more, Proverbs 24. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. Man, I look for agreement in everything I do, sometimes to a fault. That I just want to make sure that the godly counsel, the people in my life, we've got overseers in our church. We've got people that hold me accountable and that we're in relationship with. that I can bounce questions off. We've got leaders in our church, pastors and directors and dream team leaders who, hey, this is what I feel like the Lord's leading. What do you guys think? Because it's important. It's important that we don't do it alone. And then here's the fourth one. Fourth question you can ask yourself is, do I have peace? Because our God is a God of peace. And I prayed this in the prayer earlier because this is just all in my heart right now. I had this to share now, but I prayed it at the beginning. That we don't serve and worship a God. We have a God who is in us. And He is a God of peace. 1 Corinthians says, we don't have a God. Our God is not a God of chaos and disorder and confusion. But He's a God of peace. That He leads us in peace. That is His name. The Old Testament shows Himself as Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace. Philippians says, don't be anxious for anything. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks. But in every situation. Everybody say every situation. One more time. Every situation. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding. You know what that means, that all understanding? It transcends all human reasoning. It doesn't make sense on the outside. That's my story. I was working a job. I worked a job 8 years, and then I was in first year of a new job. And so when I took the job, I felt like, I told Angela, I said, I don't think this job's permanent. I think it's temporary. I don't know what it is. I don't really, you know, I don't have anything to back that up. That's just the feeling that I have. Get into a year of that job, have a national manufacturer calls me to offer me an outside sales position in their firm. And I was good where I was. They offered me a little more money and all that kind of stuff. But that, when they invited me to take that job, I said this immediately to everybody that I talked to, that I had never had more peace about a decision. And probably still to this day, have never had more peace about a decision or an opportunity in my life. I took it, and within a year and a half, that was the job that opened up the door for us to take our first step towards planting this church. That we were able to go and learn from church planting and spend 2 years in a great church planting environment, keeping the same job. God led us to another city, but He led us with the same job. That job opened the door up for that. And I was able to keep that job, and I had that job from the moment I took it till almost 6 years later when I quit it to start this church. All because I had peace about it. God leads in peace. And I'm telling you guys, you can be in a situation and you can be in a moment when there is literal hell all around you. And none of the steps make sense. But if you have peace in your heart, that's all the confidence you need to take a step. And some of you are trying to take a step that you have no peace in, and you're confused about it because you feel like it. You want to. You see it in front of you, and you're confused. Remember, God's not the author of confusion. And if you're confused about the step that you think God's causing you to take, can I just encourage you today? It's probably not Him, because you don't have any peace. And I'm not going to say that it's not Him 6 months from now, but maybe in 6 months you'll have peace. You understand what I'm saying? Follow peace. And if you don't have peace about what God's telling you to do right now, don't do it. Wait till you have peace. Wait till you have some clarity. Wait. Don't rush it. And I don't know who I'm talking to, because I felt strongly about this morning. But there's somebody ready to make a decision, and you're confused, and you don't know, and you definitely don't have any peace, and just stop. That's stop. Stop. When God's ready for you to take a step, don't you believe that He is able to make it very clear to you to take that step? He's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of chaos. Don't do it until you have peace about it. This is the journey that we planted this church in. God spoke to me very clearly and said, sell your house and move. And we began to take steps towards that. And we got really close to it. But you know, there was something that wasn't right. And I know what it is. And I reached out to a friend. And I said, hey, I feel God's spoken to me very clearly about this. But something's off. He gave me this list. He said, does it line up with God's word? Can you see like a biblical example of what God is asking you to do? And I did. I had a very clear comparison in God's word to this season that he was calling us to. He said, the second one, drawing a blank. What, somebody's got it written down? Yeah. Will it make you more like is God, is Jesus in this? Yes, I feel very clear. We're calling to, you know, move on and do ministry and plant church. Yes. He said, does godly counsel agree? I said, you know what? I haven't even asked my godly counsel. I was trying to walk through it alone without even asking my pastor. How dumb is that? And I said, you know what? I haven't. And that's what I did. And we met, and he said, yeah, Les, I agree. I believe you're hearing from the Lord, and we're going to support you and do it. Pastor Chuck, he's been here, and he'll be here again. But I just didn't go. Because one, I reached out and asked somebody. Two, I had the wisdom to do what they told me to do. And I'm asking you guys, hey, let's be Christians. Let's be a church. Let's be people who hear from God and do what he says. The most important thing that you can do for you in your life is to hear from God and to do what he says. If you want the blanks that are on the end of this message, I'll put them out on social media later in the week. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We just tune in right now in this moment to hear from you. Lord, speak to us clearly in this moment. Lord, that thing that we prayed at the beginning, Lord, that thing that you're trying to teach us, Lord, help us to understand it. Those things that we haven't seen, we want to see, we want to know, we want to walk in everything that you have for us. Lord, help us to hear from you clearly. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for pastors and godly leaders in our life who care about us. Lord, we're thankful for Jesus who set the example. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you placed in our lives and the peace that you placed in our hearts. Lord, may that ever be a guiding light and a guiding reflection for us, is to know peace in our life. Thank you for it. Maybe you're here today and you don't have any peace because you don't know God, right? Like, we're talking about all this hearing from God, and there's never been a defining moment in your life where you have ever just said, you know what, enough. Enough of doing it my own way. Enough of making bad decisions. Enough of making bad choices. Enough of blowing up my own life and the people's lives around me. Enough of that. I've done it my own way long enough, and I've never even asked God to begin to lead me. And that's because you don't have a relationship with him. I believe there are people in here who have a relationship. You've just never asked him to lead you. But then there's people in here today that he's not leading you because you've never asked him in your life to begin with. And if that's you today, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. You can walk out today being confident that you can hear from God. And we want to pray with you. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to clap my hands, and I want you to let me know. We're not going to bring you to the front. We're not going to do anything to bring attention to you. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand so that I know who I'm praying with. And then Matthew's going to come back up, and he's going to let you know what your next step is. But for all of us, our next step is to get in a group. Get in a group. But if your immediate next step is to get in a relationship with Jesus, on three, raise your hand. One, two, three. I need God in my life. Thank you, so that I can hear from him. Anybody else? Thank you. Awesome. Anybody else? Let's all pray this prayer together out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are my Father. And I thank you for Jesus. Today I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead. And today I commit my life to following your example, Jesus. I want to live for you. Be my example. Be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. Help me to hear your voice clearly. And my greatest endeavor is never to listen to the voice of a stranger. I love you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.